tried to play it fine. Unfortunately, he's missed out. Michael Rippon makes the breakthrough. He's done him. Rippon rips through Ross Taylor and he's gone for 11.
Well, it takes a good ball to get a great player out, and that's exactly what Michael Rippon's done. He gets another one, Rippon. Taylor goes for 11. It's 186 for three.
Well, that was highlights of Michael Rippon taking wickets against some pretty good players there. He has got an incredibly hard art to perform, and that's left arm wrist spin. But yesterday it was decided by the Black Caps selectors that we want to see at an international level. So he's the sole new face named in the Black Caps squads to play against the Associate Nations in Ireland and Scotland and in the Netherlands. Michael's been applying his trade to leg spin or left arm leg spin bowling. For the Otago Volts, has previously represented Netherlands 31 times, so he's had a taste of international cricket. Also, of course, he's got a background in South Africa as well. Welcome to the show, Michael. Congratulations on your selection. How does it feel to say, after all that sacrifice, coming all that way from South Africa, you're going to be a Black Cap?
Hi, Smitty. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been quite a surreal 24 hours, to be honest. It's been a hell of a journey. Obviously left South Africa in 2010 and then sort of been travelling with the Netherlands. But been pretty settled in New Zealand since 2017, and it's been a personal goal of mine for the last couple of years. So, yeah, thoroughly thrilled and looking forward to the experience.
So this is a really good commitment from you, Michael, because, of course, once you've gone from an associate country to a fully-fledged test nation as such, you can't go back. So wouldn't have been an easy decision, I would imagine, would it?
No, it actually wasn't that hard a decision. Obviously, since moving here in 2017, I initially only came over for a month as an overseas replacement. I thoroughly enjoyed my time. Love the culture, love the people. So it wasn't that hard a decision. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and I've had my mind firmly set on that.
Interesting, your background. Obviously, I've done a little bit of research on that. Your upbringing originally in South Africa. Tell us about the way that you went the cricket way over there, and the development that you had through the age groups, etc., to the point where you were playing for the Cape Cobras, the Western Province, etc.
Sort of came through the Western Province ranks. So, I played 13s, 15s, 17s, and 19s, and then from there, it sort of my growth got accelerated quite quickly. I sort of got pushed out of school. And sort of came in, I guess, as a wild card for the Standard Bank 2020 back then. So, things happened quite quickly for me. And then, after that first season, I broke my collarbone. And Sussex County Cricket Club were down in Western Province doing a pre-season camp. And I was bowling to them in the nets. And, they asked me if I'd be keen to go over there for a trial. And it was something I always wanted to do, go over and experience county cricket. So, that's sort of where I shifted over to the UK and got involved with the Netherlands.
Okay, let's look at your particular art in the game. Now, history says you will be the first left-arm wrist spinner to ever play for New Zealand. Now, that's 92 years of history. It's an extremely difficult art that you've chosen. How did you become left-arm wrist spin as opposed to orthodox?
Like most kids, I actually started off bowling medium pace and wasn't very good at that, so took up orthodox spin, and I always had the natural ability to bowl leg spin, but growing up when I was 12, 13, 14, obviously my stock ball was the orthodox ball and then the leg spin was my variation, but when you hit 15, the difference is too big in terms of the variation. So when I was 15, I made the decision to switch permanently to wrist spin, and it was sort of like, it was quite a tough time to do that, switching at 15 or 16, obviously not having the control and all that. So, I enjoyed the challenge of trying something new. And I also thought, pretty much for this exact reason, that further down the line, there'd be a few more opportunities presenting itself.
Okay, so who's been your influence on that? Because as I say, it's a rare art. I mean, I can recall, and people at home now will recall Paul Adams, who I think he was described as a bit of a frog in a blender or something. I think some people used to describe him. His was extremely unusual. He ended up coaching bowling as well at the Cape Cobras, etc. Was there a crossover there? Was there any contact there?
Yeah, there was a little bit of contact. As I was coming through, he was the spin bowling consultant. So, yeah, it was nice to chat to Paul because obviously when you have an action like that, you obviously get a lot of technical advice. So, yeah, I guess he was a sounding board in my early years at Western Province. But I guess the motivation to switch to Rispin was the great or late Shane Warne. Yeah, he just watching him on TV, that wanted me to bowl Rispin. Yeah, so I guess that's when I decided I want to do that on a full-time basis.
Incredible. Okay, that's a great incentive to have. Okay, so since your time down, you chose to play for Otago. You got contracted early on, then you've got another full-time contract, etc. Who's you working with down there or within New Zealand ranks? Are you able to source anyone?
Yeah, well, like, I suppose we've obviously got, you know, sources within the within our domestic team. Initially when I came over, we had our head coach Rob Walter and assistant coach Anton Roux. They were very influential in my development when I first came over. You know, and then we're obviously very lucky with, you know, with the staff that we got with New Zealand Cricket and our current coaching support staff. So yeah, we're not short of any resources, that's for sure.
Well, you've played cricket all over the place, South Africa, of course, for Sussex as well, and Canada as well. So it's not like you're a newbie, you're 30 years of age, and quite often they say spinners mature quite late. So that you've got that in your favour.
Yeah, I've always looked up to someone like a Brad Hogg. Obviously, I watched him quite closely. And I actually thought when, obviously, he retired, I'm not sure of his exact age, must have been 35 or 36, and then he came back when he was 40. And when he was 40, he looked almost better than when he was 35. So that sort of motivates me that, you know, I've got a quite a few more years left in the tank, and that you never quite reach your ceiling. That quite motivates me. I don't really like the phase of, you know, spinners hit their peak when they're 30, because then you sort of think that you've got to go down. So, I love talking to like a guy like Ish Sodhi. You know, I feel with this art, with Rispin specifically, obviously with all arts, but you can always improve, you can always grow. So that is sort of some of my motivation, that I'm never going to be at my peak, but that's something that I want to strive towards.
I think there's a real push too, particularly in white ball cricket, Michael, for spin bowlers. You know, Ish is experienced. Of course, you've got Mitchell Santner in the group as well. And I think particularly when you're playing in different parts of the world, it's such an asset to have. Are you predominantly, I mean, this is a white ball tour, this one, but are you open to red ball cricket, to test cricket as well?
Yeah, I'm an absolute cricket nuffy, so I love all forms of the game. I do love the longest format. I feel that's the format. I feel it's the toughest format, but it's also the most enjoyable format. You know, you can obviously do your skill for an extended or long period of time. I think naturally with my skill set, it does suit the shorter format, as we've seen with a lot of wrist spinners on the T20 circuit at the moment. But, it's something I definitely want to strive towards, playing red ball cricket, yeah.
Okay, let's look at your varieties. And one of the things you talked about, the late, great Shane Warne, is he's ever always looking to try something else, to bring something new into the game, to add to his arsenals as such. As what are your varieties looking like? Are you continuing to try and develop those?
Yeah, well, I guess one of the things with Warne was, people always say he's bluffing and stuff because there's only so much you can actually do, which is true to an extent. You know, you can either turn the ball left, right, but there's so many variances within that. You can obviously change your degrees of spin, your changes of pace. So it's the subtle variations that create the most mystery, I think. So, it's small things, you know, whereas changing seam angles, changing your grips and all of that. So always learning and always looking for new ideas.
What about when you like to bowl? Could you bowl? Do you bowl with a new ball very often as an opening variation as such, or you prefer an older ball?
No, I'm not too fussed. Generally, in the T20 stuff, I might bowl one in the power play and then mostly through the middle. That's my job, is to try and take wickets through the middle. But, I enjoy bowling with a new ball. Mostly at trainings and stuff, we obviously get a new box of brand new balls. So, you know, coach gives that to the spinners and says, "Yeah, we go, boys. Can you make this ball a little bit older for the, you know, for the deaf guys and stuff?" So, yeah, it's something that we do on a day in, day out basis, training with all different types of balls. Like, you know, sometimes wetting the balls to get used to the dew factor and all that.
So, do you regard yourself as a container or a wicket taker?
My mindset is always to try and take wickets.
Good answer. Absolutely good answer. Hey, what about contact with your Netherlands teammates? Have you had much of that in the last 24 hours or so? Bearing in mind, you're going to be seeing them very shortly.
Yeah, I'm honestly on a few of the WhatsApp groups, so I've been getting a bit of banter there the last couple of hours. Yeah, I haven't really given them that much, to be honest, but I might have to exit the groups pretty soon. Obviously they've been a big part of my development, and, you know, they obviously gave me a platform to play international cricket for so many years, so I'm always going to be grateful for that. And I suppose with this selection, that is the end of my Dutch career, but, I suppose I wish them all the best, and I'll be following them closely.
Okay, so what do you know of the surfaces, because you've played some of the associate cricket as such up in the UK region? What about the surfaces you're likely to bowl on in Ireland, Scotland, and the Netherlands in particular, which you know quite well? Are they conducive for you?
Yeah, I thought so. I haven't been to Holland now for a couple of years, 3 or 4 years, but I used to always think the wickets in Holland were quite low and slow. But last week, watching that English game and seeing almost 500 scored on the board, big to differ now. I think the wickets are pretty good.
I was going to say, I mean, you get Josh Butler in the mood, though, mate. I don't think anything's going to stop him the way he's hitting it at the moment. Exciting times. And the other thing, of course, we should acknowledge is the fact that you're more than handy with the bat as well. So how do you divide your time in terms of preparation?
I'm generally just 50-50. So I try and spend equal amount of time on batting and bowling.
Michael, it's exciting, really exciting time for you. I think that it's an art that is so interesting to watch, to talk about, to commentate on. I just love the fact that you're going to be part of it. So it's going to be interesting, and I wish you all the best, mate. You've made history. The first in 92 years of New Zealand cricket to perform your art at international level is something very, very special.